This is Oklahoma Perspective. In this edition, we're talking to Meg Sutherland and Van Riss about season two of Tulsa Little Jam. So, Meg, it sounds like you had a pretty good season one, if you're coming back for more.
We absolutely did. We wrapped up 15 episodes, had a great year, great response. We've launched our podcast series and our video streaming series. And we're launching season two on Friday the 17th at Mayfest.
Which is pretty cool because that's all going to be live.
It's all live. It's our first outdoor show, so makes for an interesting backdrop to tape. And it's free, which is our first free show.
So you're gonna videotape the shows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be filming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like it could be interesting.
Well, with an anticipated 300,000 attendance, it could get interesting.
And the guys that said, are you on the main stage? Which stage?
We are on the main stage, which is Guthrie Green.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's exciting because Mayfest has moved back to the Arts District.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And now, for those who don't know what Little Jam is, let's back up and just kind of give an opening of what exactly is it?
Well, Tulsa Little Jam is a nonprofit organization that we officially launched in September of 2018. The goal is to provide exposure and promotion for local musicians, songwriters, and singers. But it's twofold. Excuse me. It's not just that. All of our proceeds go to after-school music programs. Mm. So there's a couple of reasons we do this.
So how do you get the money into the music programs? Is it something that you sponsor, or do you actually do the programs yourself, or what is that?
It happens a couple of ways. All of the proceeds from the ticket sales, the merchandise, anything that doesn't, our bands are always paid, our crew's always paid. We don't ask anybody to do anything for free. So anything outside of that goes back into the after school music programs. And we have a relationship with TPS, and we basically, the way we funnel that is where's the biggest need. And sometimes that's hard because the need is great.
Well, everywhere when you're talking about that type of the extracurricular activities with the arts and music, that's the first place anybody wants to cut when they don't have money.
Absolutely. So we look at everything and work with the different schools and try to help as many schools as we can. We've just started, but we feel like we've made a pretty good dent.
So last year you did the podcast. And you did it at the
Woody Guthrie Center. Okay. We've been filming there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you would put them online for people to watch.
Right.
So did you have any, tell me your most interesting story about the podcast. Did you have anybody that broke out or it was just an amazing thing that happened last year?
Well, I mean, we just got started, but the response to some of the bands was because they already kind of had momentum going, and this kind of just took them up another notch, another level. So a lot of it has to do with the band's own audience and promotion. But I would say really good response with Weston Horn and the Hush, mm-hmm. Paul Benjamin. I'm trying to think who else. Eric Hyman, who I had heard of, and I'd listen to him, but man, when he played on the show, it was mind-blowing. Jeremiah Kirby was another one.
Is there a lot of talent in Tulsa?
It's kind of ridiculous.
Really?
It's overkill. There's a lot. There's a lot. There's a ton. And it's not just the red dirt, which is wonderful. But there's so much more. We've got jazz. We've got hip hop. We'll be filming hip hop. We'll be filming jazz. It's not just about this kind of what's become a tagline with Red Dirt. And it, again, that's wonderful. But there's everything here on a national talent level.
Now, in terms of the podcast that you did, I'm guessing they're still online, right?
Everything's online. Anywhere you would listen to a podcast, iTunes, Stitcher. I think there's at least 10 platforms. The video is on YouTube, and we're also on Amazon Prime.
How would somebody find those?
You just can go to our
Tulsa Little Jam.
You can go to TulsaLittleJam.com, and it'll tell you every place
where
we are
just to watch it
or listen.
So you could binge the whole thing. How many of them are there?
There are 15 from season
15, 15, and they're how long? An hour?
No, they're that's how long are the pie? 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. And you can binge on the old telly. That's what I do. I put my thing is Spotify.
Yeah.
Because if I get sick of listening to Tulsa Little Jam, because I've only listened to it 100 times,
right.
You know, you can switch over. But yeah, iTunes, you can stream on your telly, your phone, your car.
And there you are.
There you are. Yeah, I would totally binge.
Yeah, sounds like fun. Okay, so you brought somebody with you today.
I did. I brought my friend Jonathan.
And he is actually, again, he's a local guy,
mm-hmm.
and he's been here for a few years.
A couple.
So tell me a little bit about him, and then we're going to let him talk.
Well, yeah, he's going to have to help me tell you about him. But you've been playing actively since 2009, right? And actually, he's had some national.
That's 10 years.
I know. Let's not talk about how old we are. He's actually had some national exposure, which he can tell you about. But he's one of our four acts for the season two premiere on the main stage at Mayfest, and we're super excited to have him.
So you have four acts mm-hmm. coming up mm-hmm. on Mayfest. So is that a specific day, or is it spread
Friday,
out for the weekend? Or
no, just Friday, May 17th. We start at 5:30, and we'll be on stage for about 2.5-3 hours, it's live.
Yep.
And of course, it's rehearsed to a degree. The band's rehearsed, but our host, Juan Reynoso, can get in. It's live, so we don't know.
He is definitely an unknown when he is let loose.
We've tried to rein him in with the appropriate attire. You know, we do what we can.
Okay, so Van, let's just move the mic over to you and just talk to you for a second. 2009, you've been doing this. Now, I'm guessing that when we talk about the 10 years, this is the professional part of it, correct?
Absolutely.
I'm guessing that your roots in music go back a lot farther than that.
It's the part that I want to count. There were many garage band, garage band renditions before that.
Yeah, okay. So you were doing Gloria with the garage bands and all the stuff.
Right,
okay,
right.
That's okay. You have to learn somewhere.
Yeah.
So tell us about the how you got started and what you're doing and where you how you
absolutely
met Meg.
Yeah, yeah. So my first album I released in 2009. I spent about 2 years prior to that writing it. It was a great experience. I recorded it in my home and spent about $750 on recording budget and on a freeware software that I probably should have legally downloaded. But you know,
maybe I should cut that part out.
Yeah. Nobody's listening to this. Yeah. And wrote some great songs and put them on an album. And a couple months later, I already had a song that was playing in nationwide movie theaters.
How did that happen?
So interesting thing, Muzak, the elevator music that you come here in stores. They were dealing with a lot of legal issues, and some other small little startup companies started around then trying to cater more brandable experiences to, let's say, movie theaters or airline companies, things like that. And I happened to send some stuff to some of those guys, and they instantly latched on to one of the songs. And so it was my face and my song and a little DJ announcer were broadcasting me every 45 minutes in every Cinemark or AMC theater in the nation. And then Delta Airlines contracted with that same company. And so I was like the boarding song when everybody walked in there.
Wow.
So yeah, it was incredible exposure. And so little me in my bedroom with $750 instantly had something out there, and more opportunities just kept coming and coming and coming from that. And so I've released three albums. Newest one is called Every Streetlight and Every Turn. That I recorded in Bixby. And so that's kind of my elevator pitch legacy there.
So you're going to be in the, you'll be at Little Jam on Friday.
Yeah.
Right now. Do you know what time you're going to be there? Or they're just going to throw you up there at some point.
So
I'm telling you it's your turn.
I'm telling people 6:30 or 7. It's around the time I'll start. I'm the third act and we're each doing about 20 minute sets. So
I noticed you brought your guitar.
Yeah.
You know, what would you like to play the song that made you famous?
why not? I will be glad to play that song for you.
No, sure. Go ahead.
The song's called The Motions.
Just take a chance on me. I promise there's good you'll see. Oh, but you never, ever look at my heart. Come on, let's dance all right under the trees tonight. Oh, we can take it all right back to the start. Oh, stop wasting all your time trying to hide between the lines. If you feel you've been going through the motions, take your hands and just let go. I'll be the one who's there to catch you. Find this moment now, and don't worry, I'll show you how. And when your bones are wearing thin, you will remember it feels like heaven to begin again. Everyone has scars, it doesn't matter who you are. You've been chiseled into a priceless work of art. And it was God who formed you, so don't let her distort you. You were made for love with no intentions of giving up. If you feel you've been going through the motions, take your hands and just let go. I'll be the one who's there to catch you. Follow this moment now, and don't worry, I'll show you how. And when your bones are wearing thin, you will remember it feels like heaven to begin again. I don't wanna waste another minute on this fragile life I'm living. If you feel you've been going through the motions, if you feel, oh, oh, if you feel you've been going through the motions, take your hands and just let go. There to catch you for this moment now, and don't worry, I'll show you how. And when your bones are wearing, then you will remember it feels like heaven to begin again. Feels like heaven to begin again.
Very nice. Okay, so you've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
You know, I have a 3-year-old right now, and I'm really enjoying music in the state of being a dad and seeing her grow musically and achieve that. And so I've really tried to separate music from the way that I make money with it, the teaching that I get to do with my daughter, and then kind of the ego version of self-promotion. And so I'm enjoying performing. I'm enjoying writing songs that continue to be put in TV shows and playing with my daughter on the drums. And so that's, I'm just content where I'm at with that. I don't have any delusions of grandeur or anything like that, but I just had a song that was played on The Voice for their newest season, and I continue to get cool things like that keep me going.
That's now, I guess the hard question: are you making money at it?
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
So you know, it's hard to write a business plan out of a dollar download song,
yep.
especially when nobody downloads it anymore. Anyway, so film licensing has always been the bread and butter for me, and every album I've had since that $750 album has been paid for by, you know, my guitar that I just played, all of that.
Wow.
It's been funded by it. So
that's what you want.
It's always great to tell your wife and their family that you are not a money pit with music, right? There's a lot of people that put a lot of time and a lot of effort into it and don't have the revenue to kind of back that up. So I feel very, very fortunate in that regard.
Well, I guess the other side of that, though, you mentioned the $750.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long ago, 15 years or so, that $750 wouldn't have been enough to do anything.
It's
would
true.
Not have bought you enough studio time to do what you did with your album.
It's true.
So along with all of the different platforms now where you can upload your stuff, it does make it easier to be visible, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I'll give you a good example of that. I had my second album, I had a song called The River, did a music video for it, and I had massive interaction internationally from people in India and in Europe and things like that. And at that time, we were kind of, in the worst of the aftermath of the recession. And there weren't a lot of music venues. So I couldn't get a show locally, but I could get people across the other side of the world to be, massively enjoying my music.
Wow.
So, that's the era of the internet has really, really made that possible.
Yeah, I guess there as you alluded to this earlier, there's pluses and minuses. You get into the situation now where it's not the dollar download anymore, but the streaming services mm-hmm. that people are listening to. I mean, I do it.
Yeah.
I have my turntable at home and my collection, small collection of records, but if I want variety, I'm like you. I pull up Spotify and say, play this, and it plays something. So in terms of getting exposure on those types of platforms, have you been able to break through that barrier?
Yeah, it's a new platform, same old kind of like trying to find the right strategy, right?
Yeah.
So YouTube has always been a good one for me. When this was around 2011 or 12, I was investing in penny per click ads just initially to get something started. And, one out of 100 people hopefully would download my song and I'd break even on that buck that I spent. And,
It worked great.
Tried it again a couple of years ago. It didn't work. The game had changed. I have to constantly continue to just relearn how to get out there in an era of ever-changing internet. So,
all right. So you'll be there Friday. So,
yes.
Meg, let me have you go through your plan again for the weekend of Mayfest and talk to us about that.
Our plan is the band lineup. I have it. Oh, sorry. Yes, the band lineup for Friday, May 17th is Jamie Hooper. We've got Robert, is it Heffling or Hoffling?
I have no idea.
Robert, I love you. Mr. Van Riss, who just sang for you, and the Trip Sitters. And that will start at 5:30 on the main stage, which is Guthrie Green.
Now, you're going to tape these, videotape these.
Mm-hmm.
I guess nobody tapes them anymore. You're going to video record
these.
You're
dating yourself.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
It's the way we are. We're going to, whatever you do.
Okay.
And then you're going to take those and break them up into individual podcasts?
Yes, sir.
Like you did with the others.
Yes, sir. There'll be individual podcasts and then be individual videos. So you can hear it or you can watch it or you can do both.
And yeah. And then can you download those and keep them? Is it possible to do that? Or do you just go back and watch them at the same
On the podcast, it depends on the platform. But YouTube, I know you have access to. Amazon Prime, I'm not positive about that.
All right. Awesome. All right. So do the dates one more time, just for those of us who can't remember anything.
Okay. Friday, May 17th, 5:30, free show, all ages, Guthrie Green, main stage.
All right. And Van Riss, thank you for being here today. And a wonderful song. Thanks for sharing that with us. And Meg Sutherland with Tell Us a Little Jam. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.